Reported non-commercial Pacific Radio WBAI in New York. It is 11 o'clock and time now for City Watch.
Good morning. We are members of the Same Boat Coalition, which is concerned with social, economic justice, and cultural issues. We are working to democratize the city's political process and the general welfare of all New Yorkers. City Watch provides clear and useful information to listeners so that we all can better participate in our city. This is Dina Colbert from City Watch. Bill DeFazio, my co-host, is still in China. He'll be back next week, and we look forward to hearing something about China. Today we have Leslie Kagan as co-host. She is a member of the steering committee of Same Boat Coalition. Yes, she had a life before the coup and WBAI and the Pacifica Foundation, but indeed she's chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, it's good to be here wearing another hat.
Yes. And we're being webcast simultaneously on WBIX.org. And Rocky is our engineer, and thank you for being here, Rocky. Today we have Ebony Washington, who was our very first poet when we had our very first show. Full-length show, I should say, for an hour of City Watch as opposed to a segment. Welcome, Ebony. It's good to have you back.
Welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Okay. Ebony is our spoken word poet, and we're going to give you the mic now.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Ebony, and I'm a poet from New York, and I love to write about politics. This is one of my political poems. It's a poem on affirmative action. Applicant number 14. How can I sleep knowing there's a qualified person on the street? How can I accept your quota knowing my presence is based on a number? How can I support affirmative action when it only causes a distraction? Well, I never applied for that job as a slave. That's one position the New World freely gave. Affirmative action was common practice when work was backbreaking and you were the ones taking. Chose me because you knew I would not be easily mistaken. This placement was clearly based upon my race, but I didn't hear any complaints. Then the only quota that concerned America was the number of captives you could sit on a boat and still manage to stay afloat. It's no secret that the privilege you inherit was based upon my merit. But now you dare to question my qualification? Well, my resume spans 400 years of oppression with little signs of aggression. My reason for leaving my last position, well, they did sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Figured it was my chance to advance, but then to put me on hold, you hired your old friend Jim Crow. Segregation became the 20th century status quo. I had to take racial epithets, endure physical threats. I had to keep my head held high and my eyes on the prize. I had to walk through water hoses before I could come out dry. And no, I have never been convicted of a felony, but I did do time in several precincts for my civil disobedience. My references are engraved on the faces of your dead presidents, but you won't distribute them proportionately upon my request. To them you built monuments used for trade while you step on my ancestors' graves, ignoring the fact that the founding fathers you praise were all owners of slaves. Through currency flows the current of slave blood spilling over and trickling down into the current economy. Camouflaged behind this black-white dichotomy breeds financial inequalities, And though today you are that equal opportunity employer, no longer do you deserve to be blamed for the mistakes of your predecessors, but you've never given me the opportunities to become an equal competitor. Failing schools are the tools used to ail my community. Brown may have overturned Plessy, but we continue to occupy separate and unequal facilities. How can you expect us to reach our full abilities? This unwritten clause makes success implausible, and it would be criminal to tell them that things are equal, knowing that the system was tailored to induce failure. Affirmative action is the last crutch we grasp, trying to break past this American caste system. And it may fail you to discover the scale in this country has always been tipped, but it's the only way to dispel this reverse racism myth.
Terrific. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A new law requires pharmacies to give consumers a prescription drug price list that they can use for comparison shopping. The bill was authored by Assembly Health Committee Chair Richard Gottfried and just signed into law by Governor Pataki. Therefore, when you go to buy any drugs, ask for a consumer prescription drug price list so you can do comparison shopping. You might be surprised to learn that the Office of National Drug Control has hooked up with beer promoters to bring anti-drug messages to young people. For that website, I would suggest that you call the Same Boat Coalition at 212-894-8083. So you can do something about it. The website is a very, very long one, and I can't take the time right now to give it to you on the air. And lastly, according to the Center for Science in the Public Interest, in 1997, Americans spent over $54 billion on 14 billion gallons of soft drinks. This is equivalent to 20 ounces of soda, or an extra 240 calories each day for every man, woman, and child. Obesity is an issue that we're now confronting. And can we imagine not spending $54 billion on soda? I understand that our guests are now on the line, and I want to introduce them. The topic for today is Pacifica affiliates. First, I have Marty Derlin from KGNU Boulder, Colorado. She's manager and co-founder of Grassroots Radio Conference. Marty, are you there?
I'm here, Dina.
Oh, good. Welcome. I also have Kathy Melio, who's from WERU East Orland, Maine, a producer and co-founder of GRC Grassroots Radio Conference. Kathy, are you there?
I am, Dina. Great to be here.
Great. And Steve Pierce from WRPI, Troy, New York, a producer. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. So we're all on the air, and also Leslie Kagan.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Leslie.
First, I would like to say that the affiliates have a long history, and so does Pacifica with the affiliates. So first, let me, as both a listener and also a member of Pacifica Affiliate Committee, say that in the past there's been a very negative history, and also the only history that existed was a fiscal contract with affiliates. We want to reshape that relationship. We've met with some affiliates at Grassroots most recently, and in thinking about reshaping the relationship, I just want to throw out some ideas that have come up that the committee is looking at. And the committee now, which is the first thing you should know, incorporates a number of affiliate stations. So they've already joined the Pacifica National Board Affiliate Committee. Also, Pacifica is in the process of providing better KU band service, which was one of the priorities that the affiliates requested at the conference. Another idea that we're thinking of is sharing national programming days, taking one specific issue and looking at it nationally across the country. Another in reshaping the relationship is linking websites, possible listserv communication, and lastly, membership on the Pacifica National Board. Now, that doesn't mean these are the only ideas for reshaping a relationship. They're just some that I've noted. But before we go into any of that, what I'd like somebody to answer or begin to is, who are affiliates? I know there's Pacifica affiliates, there's Grassroots Radio Conference, there's National Federation of Community Broadcasters. Could somebody be far more specific than I am and describe affiliates?
I'll give it a shot.
Who's speaking?
This is Marty from KGNU. Affiliate stations are community radio stations around the country that have happened to be take Pacifica programming. Some of them, they're in markets large and small with all kinds of different licenses, some to universities like the station that Steve represents at RPI, some small, like communities of 2,000, similar to Jeffersonville, New York, where we just held the 7th annual Grassroots Radio Conference, some in communities of 100,000, like KGNU here in Boulder. So they're various. They're all over the country. At one point, there were as many as 65 Pacifica affiliates, and they were taking Pacifica programming. First, it was Pacifica National News, PNN, then Democracy Now. We also took special coverage, like the Iran-Contra hearings that Larry Bensky anchored many years ago in the late 80s. And like it or not, these stations have all been identified with Pacifica because we have played Pacifica programming. And during the Iran-Contra hearings, for example, audiences at these affiliate stations contributed a lot of money to Pacifica and supported the program initiatives that Pacifica was putting out. So even though formally there was only a relationship of finance, the affiliate stations paid Pacifica for the programming they were receiving, in actuality there was a political relationship, a political partnership that was going on all over the country that widened Pacifica's audience, that tied people together in all these different communities. Now, I'm not even sure that Pacifica ever really understood what was going on, but that's my perspective.
Dina?
Yes?
This is Steve at WRPI. I would just add one thing to that. As far back as the late 1970s, I remember when I started what I humorously refer to as my career in community media at a college station in Yellow Springs, Ohio. That station used to take a telephone feed of the Pacifica news, and at that point it wasn't a self-contained feed. It was just stories that were contributed from the Pacifica had a great bureau at the UN. And then they had their reporters at the various stations, and they would send out a feed of 15 or 20 minutes every evening over a telephone connection. And that feed went to dozens of stations all around the country. It was a huge thrill for stations, for people at stations around the country, to have a local story accepted for the Pacifica feed that then went out to all the other stations. So there's a symbiotic relationship that goes back decades, and it's not a fee-for-services kind of relationship. It's a movement kind of relationship. We are all part of the same movement.
And this is Kathy in Maine. I'd like to add something.
Go ahead.
Am I there? The Pacifica crisis really helped the affiliates seal our connections even further. In fact, if you wanted to see something good that came out of the Pacifica struggle, I would say that the Grassroots Radio Coalition organized three national actions in response to the crisis, we had 20 affiliates participating in each of these actions. A Day Without Pacifica in 99. In 2000, we had We Are Pacifica, quote from Amy Goodman, Community Radio Against Censorship. And last year, we had Affiliates in Exile, joining Democracy Now! In Exile. Now, the point I would like to make here is to hopefully show that the affiliates are more than customers to Pacifica's service, but we also helped the dialogue about the struggle get out on our airwaves and in our communities. And we also played a pivotal role in helping Free Speech Radio News get where it is today.
Let me jump in here also again. This is Leslie Kagan. And actually, I want to, for those people listening here in New York, just make a little bit of a connection. Well, why is this being discussed on the show produced by the Same Boat Coalition, where we usually look at very local issues here in New York City? Part of the mission of the Same Boat Coalition and this radio show that we do, City Watch, is to find ways to build bridges, to bring different constituencies together, to strengthen the political alliances on the issues that we face. And in a way, to me anyway, the whole issue of Pacifica's relationship with affiliates, that is other community-based stations all around this country, and stations who share a common political perspective and a sense of mission in terms of the radio that we all do, there's parallel there in terms of building bridges and strengthening the work that we each do locally in our own communities, in our own cities, by being part of a national network, a national infrastructure. So I think there is a connection. It may seem a little far-fetched to some of our listeners today, but I think there really is an important connection between the work of the Same Boat Coalition here locally and the affiliate program and what Pacifica, in relationship to its affiliates, is trying to do. Let me just jump from that, though, to ask each of you maybe to briefly comment on how you see the potential. What is the potential that you see for strengthening this relationship, for redefining and strengthening? And that is really, what can Pacifica, as a national network of five stations in five big cities, what can we give to the affiliate stations, and what can we get? What do you all have to offer to WBAI here in New York, but again, Pacifica stations around the country?
Well, I'll jump on that one. Kathy Emilio in Maine again. I keep thinking lately not only what the affiliates have been and what we are, but about what we could be in the future in rebuilding a new Pacifica. Is it going to be a new Pacifica, or is it going to be the same old Pacifica perpetuating these conflicts that don't help us move forward? You probably all know today is a national day of protest against the war upon Iraq. Now, that that national action means so much more than individual states doing their own actions. I hope that the relationship in the new Pacifica can be more interactive. We have great producers all over the country. If Pacifica is going to come up with more dynamic national programming, which I hope and believe it will, I think the affiliates and the producers at our stations need to be part of it, and I also think the listeners do.
Mm-hmm.
I would offer that community stations, Pacifica doesn't exist in a vacuum. Pacifica is part of a community station world that's part of public radio world, as well as part of a political movement. And one thing that's happened at community radio stations around the country is that we have worked through a lot of the governance issues, and the combative inner New Scene struggles that Pacifica has been going through forever and continues to struggle with. We've worked out ways for collaborative decision making and open decision making. We've worked out ways for the open door volunteer sort of porous relationship between community stations and their audiences. We've worked out ways to exercise First Amendment rights. There are stations, they're certainly various, they certainly reflect their unique communities, but we have a lot to offer Pacifica in terms of having dealt with these issues and come out on the other side of them.
it seems to me there would also be a variety of stations who could support an effort. For instance, I know WORT does not have one manager. They have a collective, which is unusual. I'm not suggesting that that's something that Pacifica needs to do. On the other hand, it's not something that's even been discussed.
Yeah, they have a successful model of collaborative management, management team at WORT. They also, we're talking about the station in Madison, Wisconsin. They've also, the volunteers at that station, the unpaid staff, have put together a book of policies and procedures that they use to guide everything, and that's all been done by people who walked in the door as unpaid people and figured out how to get around some of the issues of bad management and its alternative.
Let me just say to our listeners that we will be opening up the airwaves in a little while for questions, and you'll be able to call 212-209-2900, but that's not going to be for another 10 minutes.
Dina, I do want to hear from Steve, but I just also want to add something else. Another thing that that the Grassroots Radio Coalition and conferences have addressed, which I don't hear being addressed much on the Pacifica stations as I listen on the web, and that is the commercialization of public radio, of community radio. We're fighting that, the commercialization, the homogenization. We fight censorship, but we also delve into the whole concept of self-censorship, which is replete throughout the nation, as we know.
I would add to that. This is Steve at WRPI and Troy. I mean, I have some notes in front of me, and I was about to mention, you know, commercialization, homogenization, professionalization of non-commercial broadcasting. Pacifica really led the way in the late 1940s, redefining what the technology of radio could be used for, redefining how it's organized, redefining the expectations, everything about it. And it's proved to be a beacon for people all around the world. And I think the recent events have shown that it's a two-way street. The affiliates, ironically, were the ones holding Pacifica true to its own mission. Pacifica got lost, and at some point in the 80s, Pacifica was taking a very prominent leadership role amongst the smaller stations, and then found itself leading stations astray, just as its own stations got lost, I think, in the really ill-advised effort to take advice from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so I think that if we look at this as a if we look at the total media environment, the Pacifica and the other non-commercial stations that are part of the loose affiliate network have far more in common than they have that keep them apart. And we have to always keep that in mind. You have to look at just how devastated the media environment is right now. Certainly commercial radio, which has been contaminated by Clear Channel and these other conglomerate enterprises, but also NPR, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is driving public broadcasting in the direction of private commercial broadcasting. Pacifica and the affiliates are the ones in the same boat together, trying to keep clear a sense of purpose and vision, and we have to really communicate with one another and support each other's efforts. These stations individually are being attacked. If you follow the news, you see that in cities around the country, individual stations that used to be part of the Pacifica mandate are turning into cookie-cutter NPR stations. And so one of the things that we can do is have kind of a mutual aid relationship where we can help other smaller stations defend themselves and grow.
Yes, and let me jump in on that. I think that people need to realize, too, that in, you know, quite some years ago, quite a number of years ago, it was many of the affiliate stations that really began to sound the alarm that something was wrong in Pacifica, that sometimes people inside our own stations were you know, so sort of invested in their own day-to-day operations that they weren't looking at the big picture and what was going on in the new direction that some forces were trying to push Pacifica into. And we really do owe a tremendous word of thanks to many of the affiliates around the country who were trying to sound the alarm and call more attention to the need to get Pacifica back on track. Let me also say, though, that I think part of the work that we need to do with each other is a kind of ongoing educational campaign with our audiences and reaching out to other people as well about what exactly is going on in the mainstream media, in the mass media in this country, certainly, but also around the world. but just looking at the consolidation of ownership in this country and what that means in terms of the quality and the type of programming that people get, that I think Pacifica has still is so caught up in, understandably, our own internal struggle to get our, you know, to get things right inside our own house, that we are sometimes missing the boat on a number of very, very important struggles out there, both in defense, as Steve was just saying, of other stations, big or small, around the country, but also to work cooperatively and in a collective way, not only with the five Pacifica stations, but with the affiliates, on really mounting a campaign that challenges what is going on in the mainstream media. Where do people get their news? What kind of news are they getting? What kind of, not only straightforward news, but public affairs and indeed cultural programming too, and the very limited kind of cultural program that people are getting on so many of the radio stations in this country. So I think there's a tremendous amount of work that we need to do together, and I really have come to believe that Pacifica needs the affiliates as much as, maybe even more than the affiliates need Pacifica.
Leslie, I'd like to add a bit of history about GRC that relates to that. This is Kathy Emilio in Maine again. We founded GRC in 1996. It's important to note that the Telecommunications Theft Act, I like to call it telecommunications theft, happened in 1996, which led the way to the homogenization and the total monopoly of the media we have right now. At our very first conference in 96 in Boulder, some of the so-called Pacifica dissidents showed up: Mariah Gallardon, Lynn Geary, Vince Ivory, Tom Irwin, to name a few. They brought that struggle right out at the first GRC conference, and up until this year, every conference has been permeated by the Pacifica crisis. It's played a major role in who we are as GRC. Now we're at a point where we can look ahead and create something new, and I just think that's the way we have to look at it. I get discouraged sometimes reading some of these email lists of the conflict that is still happening within Pacifica, and I really hope and believe we can move ahead beyond that.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, I hope we do. What I'd like to do is have you stay on the line, and we're going to take a break for a moment. Ebony Washington on, our poet for today. She has an open mic. She hosts an open mic every Thursday at Kay's Cafe, located at 1345 Southern Boulevard in the Bronx. That's K-A-Y-S-K-A-F-E. Ebony Washington.
Before Ebony comes on, though, I just want to remind our listeners that we will be returning to this conversation with several people from affiliate stations, and we will be opening the phone lines to your calls after the poem.
212-209-2900.
Hi, everybody. This is a poem I wrote for the women in Afghanistan. Right here. I could have been right there with you, tossing my veil in the wind, running in the midst of war, smiling at my liberation. I could have torched my brassiere, danced and cheered for deliverance by a bonfire. But instead, I'm constructing new ways to create miracles, and I'm asking Victoria to keep my secret. I could have been right there with you, covered from head to toe, stoned to death for revealing an ankle. But I'm right here with you, raised on Vogue and Elle magazine, chastised because my skirt falls 2 inches above my knee. I could have been right there with you, property of another, hidden away, unable to go out alone, but I'm right here with you, a commodity, bought and sold, an accessory matching well with expensive cars and gold. I could have been right there with you, one of four wives, but I'm right here with you, one of four wifeys, living in poverty, used and discarded, bombarded with rhetoric of my freedom. I could have had my femininity cut for me and my womb sewn shut, could have had a belt of armor strapped and locked around my pelvis, but I mutilate my body hundreds of times a year to fit into a plastic mold, and chastity was stolen from me when I was just a child, so I could have stood scantily clad in a case of glass, a specimen in a human zoo turned European tourist attraction, but I'm right here, and harassing me is just a minor infraction. I could have been right there with you, beaten and raped, but I'm right here with you because date rape is impossible to prove, and police officers don't get involved with domestic disputes. I could have been burned alive at a stake for practicing an ancient ritual, could have been the source of all evil, bringing forth doom by opening a box. Femininity plus curiosity killed humanity, and a bite of fruit constitutes an eternity of inequality. I could have been your temptress, harlot, Jezebel, but instead I'm your trifling hoe and aggressive witch with casting couch and glass ceiling dreams. See right here? Things ain't as good as it seems. See, a sip of Coca-Cola and a shopping spree won't make you free. And that Taliban ain't the only villain. Patriarchy reigns across all terrains and dominates globally. And on television, women's lib gets set back every hour on the hour. So contrary to Western propaganda, my sisters, we all in this together. So as you embark on your endeavor to reclaim what was already yours, I'm sending this right there to you. To let you know, I'm right here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Dina Colbert and Leslie Kagan from City Watch. We're listening to Marty Derlin from KGNU, Boulder, Colorado, Kathy Melio, WERU, Easterland, Maine, and Steve Pierce from WRPI, Troy, New York. Three affiliate stations of Pacifica. I'd like to ask a question now, and I am opening up the airwaves to listeners, but one more question. Why specifically would you like membership on the Pacifica National Board? Why do you want to be involved in the governance structure? Who would like to answer that?
Marty? Well, I'll take a stab at it. I'm not really sure how important it is for the relationship between Pacifica and its affiliates. But as I said before, I think many of the affiliates have worked through the kind of governance issues that Pacifica is now dealing with. And I think that we could be helpful in bringing some accord to Pacifica. I also believe that we have an investment, and it's not, yes, there has been a financial investment by the Pacifica affiliates in Pacifica. We essentially paid for the KU band equipment. Those costs were passed on to the Pacifica affiliates. But there's also an investment of decades here of partnership, of building communities of interest on political and cultural issues. And if ever there were challenging times ahead of us, this is the time. And I think united we stand, and divided we are vulnerable.
I'd like to open up the phone lines to our listeners, 212-209-2900. The first listener, please identify yourself. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, good morning. My name is Denise, and of course I'm enjoying your program. I wanted to just make two statements, one pertaining to the Pacifica governing rules as they currently are in place. I think that Lou Hill's idea, or the original setup, was something that worked. It sounds like every time we deviate from what was originally put in place is when we get into difficulties, because throughout the difficulties with BAI, there was always a statement of deviation of the original idea.
And your question?
That was a statement.
Oh, okay.
The other statement I wanted to make is that I would like us to see to become more creative in our fundraising. I don't think that commercialization is the way for us to go. But I think that we as a national radio station should start to look at it from a political standpoint. I pay a lot of taxes. I'm a single woman. I pay a lot of taxes. And I would like some of my money to go back into stations such as yours, television programs as well. I would like the government to support community-sponsored programming. And I think that we as a national network of communication groups should try to promote them. We try to do something politically to put some kind of a bill through and get it through so that some of the monies will be channeled through to stations such as ours.
Thank you, Denise.
I wanted to say that is happening through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that the money that Pacifica gets and many community stations get is federal money that taxes are paying for. It's a paltry amount compared to what we're paying for the war effort, but it's a dollar a year per citizen for both radio and television for public broadcasting. But at least some of that is happening, and there are questions about the policies of CPB and whether they're friendly to us. But at this point, I think all of us are receiving those funds, and it is a use of taxpayer money.
And Marty, I'll also point out here that we took back Pacifica. It makes me believe that we can take back the planet, but I also believe that we can take back CPB. And I believe that many of these institutions that are so-called public institutions need to be repossessed by the public. So the caller was right on, and we'll take back CPB too.
I think one of the problems with government as a source of funding is that certainly in recent years the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has used its funding as a club to try to reorganize the stations, and that's partially what happened at Pacifica, and it's happened at other stations too. They make rules about how you have to organize your programming and audience target goals and all kinds of subtle and not so subtle control mechanisms. So you need a balance of funding. Getting back also to Leslie's question about why the affiliates might want to have some representation on the board, I'm sort of with Marty on not being adamant that needs to happen, but I think it might be a good thing for Pacifica, because my experience looking at the board conversations, certainly during the most troubled period at Pacifica over the past few years, but even more recently, shows that there's a real lack of understanding about community radio as a movement and the media democracy movement. And it's not that different from what I find here at our local station, which is a student-run club at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. The students are running a community-based station, everybody's a volunteer, and there's a lot of community members mixed in with students. It's a great experience for them. But the students who are running the station don't have a model to go by other than what they know personally. And what they know personally is the FM rock station that they listen to in high school. And that's an extreme example of the problem, but it's the same problem exists at Pacifica. People only know what they know, and you've got to open them up and expose them to different models, different ways of doing things, so that they think critically about what it is that they're doing. What I saw at Pacifica was that they were just replicating CPB and mainstream public radio strategies over the for the past decade or so.
Steve, that's why we need a seat, an affiliate seat on the Pacifica board, because as in everything else, if all of the voices are not at the table, that voice will not be spoken. And we need someone at that table, at that board meeting, who will be able to speak for the affiliate concerns, because the affiliates can help Pacifica really become new and different. And so I feel very strongly that we need at least one seat on that board. It would be like saying, well, we don't need a listener seat on the board. I mean, the affiliates, the very least we could do is have one person sitting at that table who understands our issues and our power.
Okay, I'd like to open this up to another question, another listener. Hello?
Hello.
Identify yourself, please.
Hi, this is Brother James in Manhattan, and welcome to our affiliates. I'm glad the mystique is being pulled off, being obviously very energetic and intelligent people from around the country. I have just two inquiries that I'd like for you to address. First of all, is that what prophylactic or protective situation are you yourselves in? And I'll tell you why I raise that issue. Right now, we are very fragile in an extension and a solidified way of agreements with affiliates who are also under assault means that the network has to undertake to participate to liberate any oppressive measures. And to do that, we have to tax the defense that we have to fight internally and externally as well. And whether or not we are in a stalwart enough situation to do that at this juncture is of some concern to me, because your stations are not without their own problems. Secondly, I'd like to have a lot more demographical information on the affiliates, exactly to whom they appeal, how they operate, because you have to come in with a conforming blueprint as well, so that we know that the two pieces fit perfectly. With respect to the problems that we have at Pacifica now, I don't think we want to over-dramatize. And after all, we fought a battle against very formidable powers on a national basis, and indeed on an international basis, including some of the most sophisticated intelligence agencies in the world. And we've come out of it pretty well. So I think that we're due some applause in that regard. And, of course, when it's an attack of that magnitude, then I would think that, yes, while the affiliates are able to render advice and support, that it's not quite of the dimension of any of the problems that you may have incurred. But I think we have to do this. I believe that we have to really begin to authorize by resolution serious negotiations for a solidified agreement, meaningful agreement, with the affiliates once we can see that it is indeed a conforming and mutually beneficial relationship. But I am very much
let
for
us
this.
Try and get an answer from
okay,
our guest.
Okay, I appreciate your time, but this is a rare opportunity, and I wanted to put that food for thought on your
great
mind and the listeners as well.
Great, thank you.
Well, I would say I think those are great points, and one of the things I would say is that one of the strengths of the affiliate relationships between the stations and Pacifica is that there is no conforming relationship. There's a bewildering array of organizational structures that these stations take on. WRPI is a university licensee at a very conservative school and is managed by students at a student club. And that's not a relationship, that's probably not a very common way of organizing things. And there's nothing in that that's built into that structure that guarantees a positive relationship with Pacifica or anyone else. Anybody at any of the other Pacifica stations would have a slightly different story to tell. We don't do any underwriting. We don't do any on-air fundraising. We basically are all run by volunteers, keep expenses as low as possible, and solicit community donations informally, and that works for us. But I would say that it's the diversity that's our strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would agree, and I think in terms of the problems that we all face, certainly Pacifica is the biggest community station entity we have, and the next biggest station is WMNF in Tampa, which is probably the largest community station outside of Pacifica, and the problems of, perhaps most community stations have not undergone problems on the scale of Pacifica, as the caller was saying. But I find the threats to be almost exactly identical. There are financial pressures. There are pressures from the community. There are pressures from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And biggest of all, there are the most difficult thing for all of us is to get along, is to keep that door open and to devise structures and ways of decision making that are inclusive, that are equitable, and that move us forward. And in these areas, despite the diversity of the governance structures at community stations, I believe affiliates have made some important strides.
And Marty, this is Kathy again in Maine. WERU lived through the Healthy Station Project. I'd like to point that out. In the early 90s, NFCB and the CPB, that's National Federation of Community Broadcasters and Corporation for Public Broadcasting, really foisted this program upon us. And I'd like the listeners of WBAI to know how we fought back and how we saved it. And that was by opening up the phone lines and talking about it on the air quite a bit with our listeners, asking them for their opinions and wisdom, and it saved our station. And again, I think it's just, I would just encourage every station to have more call-ins if the listeners really truly own the station.
Yes, let me jump in here. I would certainly agree that that's very important that the listeners have, you know, that their voices are heard, that the listeners go beyond listening, and that we hear from them directly as well. But we also need listeners to participate and others to participate in other ways in helping to strengthen our stations. For instance, again, if in fact we are going to survive, and by we, I don't just mean the five Pacifica stations, but I mean the many, many community-based, corporate-free stations that share the kind of political vision that we're talking about today. If we're going to survive, we really need to do a lot of educational work in our various communities. A great deal of that will happen on the radio, but a lot of it will happen in other venues as well. And listeners can play an active role in organizing community forums and bringing these issues about control of the media and the role of the media in this country to the institutions and the places they are, the community centers, the schools, the religious centers that they're involved in, that there's a lot of work to strengthen each of our stations and this whole network of stations above and beyond what we actually do on the air.
I'd like to get another listener. Hello, could you identify yourself?
Hi, this is Bob Lederer. I'm a WPAI programmer, and I want to congratulate you on a great show and say that I really appreciate the incredible contribution that the affiliate stations have played over the past 10 years in the struggle to take back Pacifica. And as they said, all the lessons that they taught us that I think make it really critical that there be at least one, if not two, seats on our national board of directors, so that input can continue and that dialogue can be strengthened. And my question would be concerning something someone mentioned earlier about cooperation on national programming, because I was just mentioning at the program council at BAI this week that we're about to be embroiled in a genocidal war against Iraq, and this is the kind of thing that Pacifica has always done a really top-notch job of covering. But I think this time we really need to integrate our strategy with the affiliates and indeed with a lot of stations and programs and entities around the country and the world. And I wondered what ideas people have about creating a national programming consortium.
Someone?
Hello, Marty.
Marty, you want to talk about the free speech 101 program we've talked about?
Well, we're just at the beginning stages of talking about the Grassroots Radio Network becoming a producer itself. I think Bob's points are really good. This talent that Kathy mentioned before is out there. It's around the country at these various stations. The problem is that Pacifica has not exercised its leadership, has been unable to mobilize some of these producers to have some leadership in creating national programming. And I hope that day will come soon. And there were efforts in the past, off and on, like on election nights and other important national events, where Pacifica did reach out to its affiliates and try to get information from individual stations. But this requires coordination. It may require a national programming director. It requires some initiative and leadership, some kind of coordination. And from either the affiliates or Pacifica to put it all together for something that, illuminates us all. So, I don't know. I would hope that this could happen quickly, because I do believe that the talent is there around the country and at Pacifica to put together some of this kind of programming. And as I said before, there couldn't be a greater need.
And I think the other thing to realize is that a project of that magnitude, dealing with such a widespread, decentralized, diverse group of stations and producers, it requires some organizational stability at Pacifica and an awareness of who these people are at these various stations. At our station, we don't really have the resources to produce a lot of local programming, so we have a limited amount of resources to bring to a national project. But other stations like WMNF and Ward and KGNU might have more to offer, but Pacifica really needs to take the lead on that. They're the ones with the biggest stations, the biggest budgets, the longest tradition of doing this kind of programming. And even though I know that Pacifica itself is financially strapped and the people there are overworked and underpaid, those stations still do represent the hope for all of us for coordinated leadership and really leveraging all the resources we have together to make something really big happen.
Let me just interrupt for 1 minute. What I'd like to do, because we do have to end and Leslie will have a moment, is to ask all of the three of you if you would be available on September 17th, the same time, to continue this conversation, and maybe we can bring in a pro and a con to the question of representation on the national board, since the meeting will be happening that following weekend. Is that possible?
It is for me, Kathy.
Yes, for me, Marty.
Okay. And Steve?
I think so.
Okay. We'll double check. But hold that date. And at this point, Leslie, you wanted to say
just
something?
Just quickly, that I very much appreciate the comments that the listeners who called in made, and also the three representatives that we've had on the phones today from different affiliates. I just want to add, though, that I think for many of us who put a great deal of time and energy into the fight to retake Pacifica and are now slogging through the very serious mess or series of messes that we inherited, including a financial nightmare. But we are making tremendous headway on all those fronts, and I think we are ready as Pacifica to turn a corner here now and do much more forward-thinking, and that includes, first and foremost, the programming and the kind of program that you all were just talking about that has to be top on our agenda as we move forward, you know, coming out of the terrible crisis period.
Okay. I want to thank Marty Durlin, Kathy Melio, and Steve Pierce, and we will continue this discussion in a few weeks. I think it was very beneficial.
Thank you. And also, thanks to Leslie. It's really great to have an activist as the head of the interim board.
Thank you very much. I want to make an announcement. A Day's Work, A Day's Pay, produced and directed by Kathy Leichter and Jonathan Skernick, is a film that will be shown on Labor Day, September 2nd at 11:30 a.m. on Channel 13. It's a film that follows three people who become leaders in the fight against Mayor Giuliani's Workfare program. City Watch was videotaped for the movie, and we interviewed Jose Nicolau and Skip Roseborough, who are in the movie. And I think some of you may know that Jose Nicolau did not take care of himself and is no longer alive, and it's an important movie to see. Again, I'd like to introduce Ebony Washington. You can get on the website. Her website is poetlitikal.com, and she has a CD coming out in October called Revolutionary Kind of Girl.
Hi. Hello, everybody. I want to thank you for bringing me on, and it was such an enlightening discussion today. The final poem I want to end with is a communications-related poem, because I was enlightened by the discussions today. And much like Pacifica, the way that they revolutionized radio, I want to do this poem. It's a poem on poetry. Okay? That poetry. That poetry will push us to the next great insurrection, causing a generation to speak using only their pens as protection. There will be no need for weapons, for this insurgency will be an attack on literacy.
that poetry will be our savior, parting red scenes and freeing us to think clearly, diminishing our need for crime because we will see the light through rhyme. Once the authorities see the effects of that poetry, they will attempt to stop that poetry. They will conceive conspiracies, labeling it artistic piracy. That poetry will become the object of public ridicule. And once that poetry will become the object of public ridicule. And just when all hope is lost, that poetry will morph, disguising itself as a popular form of entertainment while sneaking past the mob and slipping into the tiny increments of their mind. And just then, that poetry will redefine those who originally sought to confine. And when asked what's caused the change so drastic, they'll say it's that poetry that's got a hold of me.
Thank you, Ebony Washington. This is Same Boat Coalition and City Watch. I'm Dina Colbert. Special thanks to Arco Communications for our poets and Vivian Goldstein for our music. Thank you, Leslie Kagan, for your help. She certainly sits on our steering committee of the Same Boat Coalition, and it's been a pleasure to do the show on affiliates. We hope that we can ask our sister and brother stations to play this. It's an important topic. Thank you.
I see skies of blue and clouds.
And City Watch was brought to you live with portions on recording over 99.5 FM, listener-supported non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI, New York. Coming up at noon, Natural Living with Gary Null. But just to keep you informed, here is an edition of WBAI's Community Bulletin Board.
The following is a list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
On Saturday, August 31st, from 1 to 6 p.m., come to local 32BJ located at 101 Avenue of the Americas, one block north of Canal Street in Manhattan, to help decorate the Amnesty Float for the West Indian Day Parade. On Monday, September 2nd, help gather signatures at the parade in Brooklyn to call for amnesty and legalization for all immigrants. You can check in at the Reward Work Table on the northwest corner of Utica Avenue and Eastern Parkway. If you'd like additional information, call 212-388-3698. That's 212-388-3698.
Westchester-based singer, songwriter and music healer Sandy Kemmel will celebrate the release of her newest CD, Music in My Soul, with a benefit concert for the Phelps Hospice in Sleepy Hollow. The concert will take place on Saturday, September 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Irvington Town Hall Theater, 85 Main Street in Irvington, New York. A portion of the proceeds, as well as your donations of gently used CDs for the hospice's Music Healing Library, will be used to provide music for patients and their families. For reservations, call 914-591-6602. That's 914-591-6602.
Take a trip around the world in one day. The 17th International Cultures Parade, celebrating the miracle of unity and diversity, is happening on Sunday, September 8th at 2:30 p.m. on Madison Avenue between 42nd and 23rd Streets in Manhattan. This parade is sponsored by the International Immigrants Foundation and will include dancers, art, floats, music, and pageantry from Africa, the Middle East, Latin America, Europe, Asia, and the Caribbean. For more information, call 212-302-2222. That's 212-302-2222.
The Health and Wellness Ministry of the Congregational Church of South Hempstead is sponsoring a free homecoming festival and family day on Saturday, September 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. right at the church located at Woodland Drive and Long Beach Road in South Hempstead, Long Island. Activities will include games, poetry, nutritional information, health screenings, mini workshops, giveaways, music, dancers, and food. Everyone is welcome. For additional information, call 516-486-3626. That's 516-486-3626.
The New York Whale and Dolphin Action League is organizing a protest against the captivity, confinement, and exploitation of whales and dolphins, and against whaling and the Navy's use of low-frequency active sonar. This legal, permitted protest will take place on Friday, August 30th, from 3 to 8 p.m. in front of the New York Aquarium on Coney Island near the boardwalk entrance to the aquarium. For more information, call 914-793-9186. That's 914-793-9186.
This has been a list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
Let us know what's going on in your community. Write to us at least 2 weeks in advance at WBAI, 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, New York, New York, 10005.
Or fax us at least 2 weeks in advance at 212-747-1698. That's 212-747-1698. I'm Evelyn Andino Rosa.
I'm Vajra Kilgour.
And I'm Victor Takeoff.
Have a great day.